It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Friars. It is time to talk some NHL hockey, as it was a busy week. There's lots of things to talk about. And I want to get it going, Blake. I got some serious questions about. I don't know. I'm a sports guy. I'm way more of a hockey guy than any other sport.
We're not talking about Ohtani today.
So what is the deal? Why is someone paying him $700 million?
Well, the contract is gonna pay for itself pretty quickly. It'll pay for it very quickly. Jersey sales, TV deals in Japan. He's gonna make the Dodgers well over $700 million. It's a $700 million investment.
The Dodgers don't get a TV deal in Japan. The league would. The Dodgers don't.
Yeah, but the Dodgers get a cut for playing the Dodger games in there. What do you mean? They would work that out with the team. The Japanese ads that are going to be on Oliver Dodger Stadium, they're going to make well over $700 million. They probably made $200 million back just yesterday alone. Guys buying jerseys.
The best thing that could ever happen to the Maple Leafs are the Maple Leafs. The Blue Jays is them not to get him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like
pitching staff for that. You can get a whole rotation for that.
No, I'm just saying it's horrible. The conspiracy theories out there that the stuff that went down as a fan pisses me off. But I mean, he's not I wouldn't give him $700 million.
There's no way that one person is worth that. He's freaking injured too. He's designated hitter
for 1 year. Yeah.
How do you know he comes back from Tommy John? I believe it's his second one, isn't it?
It is his second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the best player in the world.
I don't care. So you're telling me Connor McDavid, what should he get paid then?
What should he get paid?
One guy can't do it in baseball. One guy can't do it in hockey. I don't understand. I don't understand this money. I think it's asinine. Plus, yeah. Baseball is such a dying sport anyways.
I wouldn't say it's dying, but.
Well, their popularity is at a low.
Okay. I mean, because guys like Ohtani are the ones that put the seats in the building. So, no. He's a generational talent, one of a kind. Nobody's done this.
And they will never live that contract down.
It could be a horrible contract. Could not. I don't know. Guess time will tell. But I saw it. I'm like, I don't know. It's crazy.
I knew he wasn't going to Toronto.
Oh, but the media and Ohtani's camp made you believe it.
Why wouldn't the Canadian media make you believe it?
No, not the Canadian media. Not the Canadian media.
Whatever.
No.
They were all over.
Go look at the conspiracy theory after the pod. And tell me how messed up it is.
I don't have time to be following baseball stuff. So let's switch gears into basketball. I have a question for you.
No, we're not. What are we getting to? When are we getting to the Red Hot Oilers here?
Right after this. So I saw this tweet, and this guy said, and this is true because I did a little background on it. This guy tweeted, "I'll put up $1 million on the line." He tweeted this to the WNBA. He said,
"We already talked about this. We talked about this already. Yes, the guy put $1 million that his high school team could beat a WNBA team. We already talked about this.
I didn't talk to you.
We talked about this on the podcast 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Did we? Yes. Yes. He bet $1 million at his high school team could beat a WNBA team. We already talked about this.
I don't think we talked about this.
We did. I know exactly what you're talking about. We talked about it on this podcast.
So who wins?
Who wins?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it really matter? I don't know. It's stupid. The guy's just like, it's a pissing contest. The guy has $1 million he's willing to bet. He's just, so come on.
Why won't the WNBA do it?
I don't know. Cause it doesn't really do them any good.
It does them good. It could do them a ton of harm.
The WNBA would beat a high school team. Yes, they would.
not some of the elite high school teams.
Okay, you take the best.
We're talking on ESPN the other day that there's high school teams that have 6'5" guards, and you put them up against freaking WNBA players.
They're... Okay, but I'm saying the best WNBA team would probably beat a high school team.
A high school team, maybe not the best high school team.
Okay, but is that the guy, the best high school coach and the best high school team? Probably not.
I don't know if this guy was a coach, though. He said. His tweets said, your WNBA champion team against a 2024 high school boys state champion team of my choice.
No, it's not. It's dumb. Dumb.
Awesome. I think it's awesome.
We've already talked about this. Go back in the archives.
On the episode today, the best, worst teams in the league. We're going to talk about the teams who are way better than what their record is so far. And then we'll go around the league, talk about some stupid plays, Kings of the Road, the salary cap, wool out, and a super young superstar. So as I was watching my kids, I noticed a bunch of teams. And while I was watching them, I'm like, how can they be so low in the standings? Because they looked good. And I think the most glaring one that comes to mind is, yes, the Edmonton Oilers. And that's not really the one I want to focus on because we've talked about them about every episode this year.
Well, they're on the rise. They're on the rise.
They are, for sure. I mean, they won 7 straight, I believe it is. And
let's kick this conversation off with your beloved Ottawa Senators then, Brad. You have the floor.
This is a team. And here's one of the ways, the only way, really, I can justify this. The Ottawa Senators are a +8 goal differential. And I know that it's just one statistic in the standings, but I watch it every year, right? And if you go to last year, pull up the standings from last year, every team that was in the playoffs had a plus goal differential, and every team out of the playoffs had a minus differential, with the exception of maybe one or two that are really close to even. Just pull it up.
You're correct.
I'm correct, and I watch this every year. I don't know why I watch this stat. I have no idea why I watch this stat.
Yeah, but probably plus eight is might as well be negative.
Plus eight's not too bad. Toronto's a +7. The Rangers are a +12 only. I mean, they're
not okay. So, but there was what I'm saying is, Brad, there wasn't a team that made the playoffs last year that had a below +20. Calgary was the lowest at +8. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they were a plus team.
Yeah, but like
all I'm saying is no team. I mean, you don't get negative teams making the playoffs.
No,
you don't at all. And Ottawa, who sits here this year and is struggling, is in dead last in their division, somehow figures out a way to be a plus right now. That tells me that this team is a team that has a potential to be better if they get some goaltending and they get some better defense and things get a little calmer around there.
But it's just like there's just so many distractions. They're just like you win two, you lose two, you win one, you lose one. Like there's no consistency.
No, there hasn't been.
There's none.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's
well, the one thing that is working for them though is they only played 22 games.
Yeah, and this team has pieces to be better. And you know what else I like about this team is they go to bat for each other.
They do, for sure. Tight group.
Another team that I look at and they have a high +2, +6, albeit, is the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you could get the Pittsburgh Penguins to get their power play, which is 0-for-31 in their last 12 games.
Yeah,
if you could just get something like that going, how much better is this team?
Well, it's a lot better.
Win without a
and they're even getting good goaltending from Tristan Jarry too.
They are, which shocks both of us because me and you are not big Tristan Jarry fans.
No,
but that's a team though. If they get this one little thing going, how much better are they?
Yeah. Are you concerned about Carolina? They got absolutely dummied in Western Canada.
They did.
Dummied, embarrassed.
I'm a little worried, but I do think that they will be okay. I do think they need to figure out their goaltending a little bit.
Well, I mean, their starters hurt. Their starters
hurt.
But you can't like go into season be like, oh, well, in December, Freddie Anderson's going to go down with blood clots. You can't really prepare for that.
No, and you don't know with that how long that's going to be.
Yeah, he's been out for a while. So, and Antti Raanta, like, don't get me wrong, he's a good goalie, but he's not a guy that can carry the load, and they just don't got an experienced guy behind him, right? They got Kochetkov or whatever the hell his name is, and he hasn't been very good either.
Yeah, I would say I'm concerned. I'm not concerned because I think they're a bad hockey team. I'm concerned because they have a lot of hurdles, and they're not handling the rigors of tough times very well.
No, like they responded better in the second period against Vancouver. First period, I thought it was gonna be 4-0 Canucks. I'm like, holy, like this, what is going on here? And then in Edmonton, they just got blown right out the doors. So,
well, you gotta look. By the time they get to Edmonton, that's tough. That's tough scheduling.
No, they went for Edmonton, and then they went to Calgary, and then they went to Vancouver. Right,
They did. I'm thinking of New Jersey. New Jersey's
yeah. Calgary. New Jersey went Vancouver, Calgary, then Edmonton.
Yeah,
they lost today. So, yeah. But even New Jersey took 2 or 3 on the Western trip. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be really hitting the panic button at all. But I mean, the way they're playing lately hasn't been great.
Cause for concern. I definitely agree with you there. Tampa Bay is another team I look at. If they could get, they got Vasilevskiy back now, if they could get him back to even close to the form that he was at, this team's better than what they're producing. They are currently set in a wild card spot, but they have struggled, have really, really struggled. And one other team that I watched this week, I watched them play twice this week, and they won one of the games I watched, and they lost one of the games I watched. But the Minnesota Wild are a lot better hockey team than their record shows.
Sure. For sure. They're just boring.
They are boring.
They're just super boring to watch.
But I watch them, and they have good players that play smart hockey and physical hockey. And gosh dang, if this team could get, and they have been much better with John Hines. They rattled off, I believe, 4 in a row, and then they had to go out west, and it's a tough road out there. But they're a team that has some of the pieces where I could see the second half of the season being a strong one for them.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Kaprizov and Hartman and Zuccarello, and Matthew Boldy's finally healthy again. That game they played against Vancouver, they outshot them. I think it was like 16-1 in the first period, 16-3, and it was 1-0 Vancouver, and it kind of just deflated them. They come at you in waves. They're a fast team. They play good defensively. It wouldn't surprise me if this team got hot in the second half. Not at all. They got some good pieces.
Yeah. I mean, man.
Gustafson didn't have the best start, but he's kind of picked it up as of late.
Fleury was good the other night against Calgary, and I don't know. I look at this team, or excuse me, against Edmonton, Fleury played. I don't know. I think that's a team that could make some noise in the second half of the season. It's just that it's funny when, you know, like Christmas, usually the good are separated from the bad. And I believe it's still the case this year, but there's some teams that are still hanging in there that I didn't think would be, and there's some teams sitting on the outside that I didn't.
Okay, hang on. Let's go back to the East here.
Okay.
What is going on with the Philadelphia Flyers?
They look like a really, 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 really good hockey team, and that blows my mind. I don't know how.
What is happening? I almost stumbled out of my damn chair when Elliot Friedman says, the surging Philadelphia Flyers are second in the Metro. I said, excuse me?
They work. I know. I would have never guessed that either. If someone would have had me write out the standings, I would have never had them up
there. But Torts gets the most out of his guys.
They work hard. That
surprised me. They work their ass off.
I'm going to have to, you know, point the finger at myself. I have not watched them very much this year. I'm going to have to.
I watched maybe two games.
I have not watched that much of them. I need
to watch.
They're
9-4-1 on the road. They've won 4 in a row. It's a pretty good hockey team right now, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how there's definitely some teams, but then there's some teams Sitting on the outside, you know.
Well, it also helps when Carter Hart has a 920 save again. Like that's a huge part of that team. If he's in the 880s like the last couple of years, you're not going to win much games. So
nope. New Jersey still sits outside the playoffs too.
Yeah, they've been hot as of late. They've won 6 of their last 10. They just lost last game, but they were 7 of their last 10. So they are starting to pick it up a little bit. They haven't got good goaltending either. I feel like it's a theme around the league right now.
That is a boring team to watch.
New Jersey? Oof. Yeah. I mean, their power play is good. Their 5-on-5 is not very fun to watch.
No.
So
definitely not very fun to watch.
No.
Make sure you check out our sponsors, Stick Bandits. Get on over to stickbandits.com. They have they can outfit your whole team with helmet numbers, helmet logos, hockey bag tags, locker room signs, doors for your hotel on these stays after Christmas. Teams really, really hit the road. Get all your needs at stickbandits.com. Time to go around the league, and we have a lot to talk about. Stupid plays. I got three stupid plays I want to talk about. The first one is, what is Austin Watson doing?
Yeah, that might have been one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
End of the game, fires a slap shot.
Right in the nuts.
At Lightning defenseman Jeremy Luzon, and I don't understand.
It's a bonehead play. It's Bush League. That's what it is.
He apologized after, but I just was like, you know, I don't know that apology helps here. I'm tired of people being dumb and apologizing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dumb. The next one that was scary. Dylan Larkin gets drilled last night by Joseph. And then on the backside of it, which was even worse, though. That one.
Honestly, I honestly think the Larkin was kind of an accident.
It was. I do. I think it was too.
Like it was just like the wrong guy, wrong place, wrong time, and they both hit him at the same time. But what Perron did was just ridiculous.
Perron's cross check to Zub was directly in the face, and
gonna get 5 games.
I think so. He's gonna in person.
Well, he got in person. It's up to 5.
Yeah. No. How does that
work? Yeah, they can suspend 5
or more.
Yeah. So I would give him, I don't know, man. I shouldn't make any predictions about player safety because we all know how widely inconsistent that department is. But
why do they always protect the perpetrator and not the victim? Because they're both NHLPA members. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why does the NHLPA always go to bat for their guys to not get suspended when they have one of their own NHLPA players laying in the ice? I don't get it. That doesn't make any sense. But the one that got me fired up this week was probably in the best hockey game I watched this week. The Edmonton Oilers Minnesota Wild hockey game the other night was unreal. It was the best hockey game I watched for sure on Friday
night. You didn't watch Vancouver and New Jersey?
No, I did not.
That was one of the best games I've watched all year.
So,
not only that was 6-5, but are you going to talk about the Evander Kane hit on Brodin?
Absolutely. From behind. Yeah. It's from behind.
And the day later, the guy in Buffalo gets ejected for the same thing.
This was clearly from behind.
I don't get it.
You know what?
Now he's out 4 weeks. He's out 4 weeks, Brodin.
Four weeks. And that's a big loss for the Minnesota Wild. A big, big loss. And I'm so frustrated by this. I'm so frustrated by this because Evander Kane does this all the time.
And take Evander Kane out of it. You got to take the player out of it. Just look at the play. Who it is. Play's dirty.
It's dirty. I don't care who it is.
Doesn't
matter. It was a clear hit from behind. And Brodin wasn't even turning. I'm a proponent
the guy in Minnesota, or sorry, the guy in Montreal, Barron, he turned his back right in and got drilled. Okay, I mean, you're kind of asking to get drilled in the numbers if you're turning your back and up. Like, even Bieck was like, hey, like, you could have protected yourself, gone up closer to the boards. But Brodin, like, I mean.
He did not. It was just right in the numbers. And you know what? There's one way to solve this. There's one way to solve this. Vander Kane does this in Edmonton. Someone's going to get two-hand chopped in the wrist. And the guy probably wears number 97.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's what's at the league. Someone in the league is going to say, if the league's not going to protect our stars.
Well, look, okay. Did you see what happened in Columbus today?
I did not.
Gudbranson got absolutely leveled from behind by Nick Cousins. And the NHL the refs reviewed it, called it 2 minutes for boarding. It should have been a five. So Gudbranson takes matter in his own hands once Cousins gets out of the box and goes and drills him and takes him to the ground and starts beating the shit out of him. If you're not going to police, the game properly, and you're not gonna give justification where it's needed, players are going to start taking matters in their own hands and policing the game themselves because
It's going to happen.
Players are going to get hurt. Players are going to get hurt because of this.
And when guys like Brodin get hit from behind and Minnesota loses one of their best players.
Don't be mad when Hartman hops over the boards and starts running at guys.
Yep. And two-hand chops, Draisaitl. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, NHL. We're warning you. It's going to happen because these players are not going to put up with this garbage. Protect the victims. Quit being like society. Stupid. LA Kings. They're impressive. 11. They win 11 straight. They lose last night to the Islanders in overtime to break going to 12. It is an NHL record. The LA Kings currently sit in third in the Pacific, 1 point behind Vancouver. They have 4 games in hand. Holy cow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But this team is 11-0-1 on the road. They've won 8 of their last 10. They have got points in 9 of their last 10. Do they want to go home?
I might have to eat some words here on the old Cam Talbot train. I might be buying.
I told you.
You might be buying me some Vezina votes.
I told you.
It is December. I know.
There's a lot of hockey.
Let's pump the brakes.
A lot of hockey left. No, you brought it up. I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
Is good. He's fucking been good. He's been really good.
Salary cap projected to go up to $87.7 million next year.
Plus $4 million. That's good. Help out some teams.
Help out some teams, like try every team.
Yeah, help out some teams.
Every team.
We gotta talk about the Oilers, right? Before leaving here.
What do you want to talk about the Oilers?
Well, that they're rolling and McDavid is alive, 23 points in 9 games. Pretty absurd. Skinner has a goals against average of 1.55 and he has a 930 save the last 7 starts. He's making stops.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Like,
it's not sustainable, but I'm saying they're getting stability in net.
Does the McDavid thing surprise me? Not at all. No. Skinner is not going to be able to keep doing this.
But they're somewhat out of the damn hole.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're climbing their way out.
They're out of their hole. It was gonna take an 8 out of 10 to have playoff aspirations, and that's what they've done. They won 7 in a row, and we'll see if they can keep rolling. They won again today against who the hell did they play today?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. That's right. New Jersey.
They will finish second in the Pacific.
Huh?
They will finish second in the Pacific.
That's bold.
I don't know.
Bold. They're 14 points behind Vancouver right now.
They're gonna pass them.
Okay. I don't know. Don't know about that. What else is on the docket here?
I know you're going to change the subject. No, I do. I think they will. I still worry their goaltending though. But I don't know that they still don't go out and get somebody.
Oh, with what cap space?
I don't know.
Can they dip it into next year's $4 million?
They'll probably come up with a way to do it.
Jack Campbell's coming out of retirement. All right. From the AHL.
So your thoughts on Maple Leafs goalie Wall going down with an injury.
Yeah, it's, you don't like seeing that, especially how it happened. I mean, it was just a weird fluke injury that he was hugging his post, and then he went to make a save to his right, and he just, his skate got caught or something, and he has a high ankle sprain. And for a goalie, a high ankle sprain, that could be 2 weeks, it could be 8 weeks, it could be 10 weeks, you don't know. Like, no. I honestly, like, call me crazy, man. I honestly would rather break my ankle.
They because say that.
You know, broken ankle, you cast it up, you're healed up in 4 to 6 weeks. High ankle sprain could be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 10 weeks, you don't know. And for a goalie that you have to move around so much, I mean, it's good that you got a good security blanket of Martin Jones. That's why you sign guys like that, just in case something like this happens, that you run with Samsonov and Jones.
Do you feel comfortable with Samsonov and Jones? Jones was good though last year. Like, we can't.
Yeah, he won 30 damn games last year.
I know.
And nobody wanted to sign him. We talked about how good of a signing that could be, and here we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, it's probably going to pay off. It's going to have to pay off if the Leafs want to, keep pace.
Samsonov's been better as of late. But yeah, I don't know. That's a tough blow for them because he's been playing well.
One last thing we'll talk about before we head on into three questions, but I noticed last night the Brandon Wheat Kings called up 14-year-old Jackson Jacobson, who is actually the owner's son.
Yeah.
And at 14 years old,
Paris Snipes.
The kid looks like,
good for him.
He is so young. I didn't even, and maybe this is naive of me. I thought you had to have special.
No. So if you're an AP, you have a certain amount of games.
Okay. So he's just,
so they drafted him. He's an AP. If somebody gets hurt, you know, you call up an AP, he probably plays with the Brandon Wheat Kings AAA team. That's my guess.
He does.
So he probably plays U18 AAA. I'd have to look, but I'm going to guess that's where he plays.
He does. I looked last night. He does.
So they draft the kid, and if there's injuries, that's your APs. So,
but holy cow, he looks super
good. He looks a little slow, but that's okay.
He's 14.
He's good. He's gonna be a good player. We'll see what happens.
Crazy that that a guy can step in like that and be a difference maker at that young age. He doesn't even have he couldn't grow a mustache right now if his life depended. Holy cow. Crazy. Playing up against 20-year-olds. Jeez. Yeah. All right. Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake. I got three questions for you this week. I think they're pretty good ones.
Okay.
I might even have a 3A, but we'll see here. Okay. Ottawa has hired Jacques Martin as an advisor.
Yeah.
How do you think DJ Smith feels about this hire, and what does this mean for his future?
Well, he's got to feel threatened because that's a very respected guy in that organization.
He's 71 though.
He's okay. That's okay.
I don't see a 71-year-old going behind the bench.
He's already behind the bench, is he not?
Yes, he is. But I mean, as like taking charge. Like, I don't know.
If they keep losing, they don't have a choice.
True.
That's the only option. And it's either the players start playing better, or he's gonna be their head coach until they hire somebody else, because I don't see him being a long-term guy there. He's just kind of there to steady the ship and a familiar face in the organization and a guy that's been there before and taken him on a couple long playoff runs and provide some wisdom in there and kind of settle everyone down.
So I said last week, and this is probably premature, and after the show, I even thought, God, what was I saying during the show there? I said that DJ Smith would probably get fired, and I don't think they're going to fire him. I thought about it more, and I'm like, what was I saying that for? Because he's there's been so much turmoil that it had nothing to do with him.
So many distractions there.
Yeah. So I mean, after I got done saying that last week, I was like, what did I say that for? Question number two. Who will Ethan Bear sign with?
Well, I would have said Vancouver before they got Zadora, but I don't think that can happen anymore.
He played 61 games with Vancouver in 22-23. Was really effective.
Played majority with Quinn Hughes. Maybe a team like Washington, Detroit, maybe. Trying to think. Maybe go back to Toronto. I don't know. Go to Toronto. I don't know.
Calgary, maybe.
You?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Washington is what's been reported. I mean, that's who everybody's talking about. That's
Calgary?
No, Washington. Everybody said
Washington. Oh, Washington. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. See it. Guy that's sought after? Like, seriously, Ethan Bear? Like, we're talking about Ethan Bear saving the day?
Six,
like,
six guys about? After him, I was reading.
Well, does that just mean defensemen suck in this league or what? I mean, I think Ethan Bear is serviceable. Really? Are we're having a bidding war on Ethan Bear?
Well, cap's tight and he's going to be cheap.
Is he?
He's going to make, what, $2 million? Probably. Good depth guy. Good depth guy. I don't
see any more than that.
Yeah.
Question number 2A. This is a little sub-question. What the heck is going to happen with Andre Kuzmenko in Vancouver?
That's a great question. I don't know. Like, he's got 1 year left on his deal. They were talking about how they were getting calls on him.
What's the problem?
He doesn't play defense. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't back check. And he's not scoring. So if you're not scoring, you got to do something. And last night, Tocchet, he played two shifts from the second period on. So, and that's the second time he's been benched mid-game. He's already been healthy scratched three times. Tocchet ain't going to mess around. He benched JT Miller, who last time I checked is second in league scoring with 41 points in 28 games. You don't care. If you don't play, you're not going to play. If you don't play his way, you're on the bench. And that's great that you want. Did you see the Canucks, how Miller and Talk were like writing on the board during the whistle? I never seen that before. It's weird. Anyways, but Kuzmenko, he's got to realize he's got to play defense or he's not going to be in the lineup.
No.
So there's going to be guys after him. There's going to be guys, teams after him because the guy had 39 goals last year. 70 points. Like he's a pretty talented player, but I mean, the way that the Canucks are playing right now, you need to buy in or you don't play. That's just the way it is. So
question number 3, Detroit is 0-2 since Patrick Kane joined the team. They had a disappointing come from behind loss to the San Jose Sharks 6-5. And they lost to the Ottawa Senators yesterday 5-1. Kane did have a goal. It was a good goal, and Kane looks to be playing pretty well. But is there a fear on how this team's going to react and how he fits in?
Yeah, I think it'll take some time. He does look really good for coming off double hip surgery replacement. He looks pretty good. He's moving around pretty good. I think it'll take some time. Get him ramped up. Didn't have a training camp or preseason, nothing like that. So I wouldn't be too worried about him. It should be all right.
Yeah, and I'm not so much worried about him. I'm just worried about how he's going to fit in. I don't know.
Well, if Larkin's out, they're going to need him to step up. So
he's definitely going to have to fill the points there because that is a void that, you don't want to have a guy like Dylan Larkin out.
No.
Listener question comes from Toby Brecky, Lansing, Michigan. The Eastern Conference looks to be more dominant than the Western Conference this season. The East has 11 teams with a point percentage over 500, and the West only has 9 teams with a point percentage over 500. Do you think the East is really dominant than the West this year?
It's right now the West is top heavy. Yeah, like you got Vegas, you got Vancouver, LA, and then you got Colorado and Dallas.
I don't know to even put Dallas in that.
Well, it's top heavy, but you got Boston, you got Florida, you got Toronto, you got Detroit, you got Tampa, Rangers, Philly, Islanders, Capitals, Like they're the East is definitely deeper, but out of the West, we didn't even name the Oilers who are coming, and teams like the Jets who are good. So I don't know. I think it's more balanced than people think.
Yeah, I would agree.
I wouldn't say the East is so much better.
One of the factors in this too is that when you look at the East, I mean, did you think that Washington would have a 0.604 point percentage? No. Did you think that Philly would have 0.59? Did you think Detroit would have 0.615? No, there's three teams I just named there that we didn't expect. And then on the flip side of that, you know, Edmonton just today climbed to the 500 mark.
Okay, yeah, and then you got Vancouver playing at 661.
Yep.
You got the Arizona Coyotes playing at 538.
I know, so
Nashville's at 519. Like, it balances it out.
It balances it out, I would.
Yeah.
All right, hockey fans. Short but sweet today. Lots to talk about. We are taking a week off. I am getting on an airplane this week, going to Florida. Spent some time with my family doing absolutely nothing. I got a new hockey book for you while I'm gone.
What's it called?
Draft Day.
Who wrote it? Doug McLean?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I'm taking with me on the road. Excited to get away. Hopefully the weather is going to be decent down there, just to do absolutely nothing. We don't really have any plans. We're just going to have a little bit of fun going.
Hey, sometimes those are the best trips, and you just don't have any plans. You just wing it. Hey, tonight we're going to go to a hockey game. Tonight we're going to go to Disney World. You know?
We're just going to wing it. We're going to have a little bit of fun. So a good escape. I will be watching hockey at night, though. I can't escape that. I have too much enjoyment in my life. So I'll stay up to date. We will take a Monday off. Blake and I will be back the following Monday recording for a Tuesday release. Tell that, hockey fans. Enjoy all the hockey action, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.